In the epistle of today's Mass, St. Paul says, "By the grace of God, life everlasting." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. More than 800 years before Christ, there was a very striking scene, a real one, that took place in Palestine. The entire Jewish nation was assembled on top of Mount Carmel within the circle of thousands of Israelites who were present. There were 850 pagan priests screaming fiendishly about an altar upon which they were offering a sacrifice, a pagan sacrifice. They had begun this sacrifice early in the morning that day, and they began dancing around according to their pagan rites and slashing themselves with lances. And by noontime, hours later, they were exhausted and they were covered from head to foot in their own blood. Now, in the crowd of these Israelites was their king, Achab. His face, it was contracted with worry and from pain. But off to his side, all by himself, was an old man with a white, scraggly beard. And unlike the others, who were worried and upset, he is all smiles. They say he was jesting with the pagan priests and taunting them. This man was the prophet Elias. Now, that was a true scene. Now, behind the scene, there was a very intense drama that goes back 3.5 years before, when the Jews once more fell into idolatry, the worshipping of false idols. Elias, the prophet, who lived on top of the mountain, Mount Carmel, walked down the streets of the royal city, and then he went right up to the palace, and he prophesied to the king that if the nation, the Jewish nation, did not turn back to the one true God, then it would be divinely punished. The king wouldn't listen, and it did not rain then for 3.5 years. But now, back to that day. The king, Achab, calls the whole Jewish nation to gather up on top of Mount Carmel at the request, rather the command, of the prophet Elias. It says in Scripture that Elias said, "Gather unto me all Israel upon Mount Carmel, and with them the pagan prophets who eat at the queen's table, 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the groves." When all of them were gathered together, Elias said to the Israelites, and I'm paraphrasing this, "How long will you ride the fence? If the Lord is God, then follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him." Sound familiar with the problem in the church today? How many people sit on the fence and never choose a side? But when Elias said that, not a single man said a word. No one moved. And so Elias, Scripture tells us, he proposed a contest. The pagans were to set up an altar and to offer a holocaust, a sacrifice. And then he himself would set up another altar and offer sacrifice to the true God. Then the pagans on one side and Elias on the other would pray to God to consume their holocaust with the miraculous fire that would come down from the sky. And he said, "And the God who sent down the consuming fire would be acknowledged by the nation as the one true God." The pagans had been trying for hours, but their holocaust, it says, only dried up in the summer sun. A miraculous fire, however, came down from heaven and consumed Elias's sacrifice, and all the Jews at once fell down on their knees and cried out, "The Lord is God, they turned back to the true God. And Elias immediately turned to the king and says, "Now it will rain." The story goes on. It's all in Scripture. He tells the king, Achab, to now go and relax, go eat, while he himself, Elias, went to a place on the side of Mount Carmel, and he sat there, crouched down, and he tells his young servant to go. Mount Carmel is surrounded by the Mediterranean Sea. To go down to the sea and look out over it. 6 times the servant goes to the sea and comes back to tell Elias, "I don't see anything." The 7th time he comes back to report that he has seen a small cloud, and this is important, a small cloud in the shape of a human foot. The church fathers explain that this little cloud, which rose pure, this is a quotation, which rose pure out of its bitter sea and leaving all impurities behind, is actually a figure of Our Lady who will rise out of the sea of humankind free from the impurity of original sin. And it is her heel that will crush the serpent's head. Now, let's move forward just over 2,000 years. St. Louis, the King of France, he hears about some holy men, hermits, that lived in little caves on Mount Carmel. They called themselves the Hermits of St. Mary of Mount Carmel. He climbs all the way to the top, and he found them there, and he asked if some will come to France. They told St. Louis that all the way from the time of Elias until Our Lady's birth, the prophet's successors handed down to them a revelation. All the while, a revelation that Our Lady would come. All the while, the successors would pray for the appearance of that miraculous virgin. And not terribly far from the mountain is where Our Lady was born, in the town of Nazareth. It's said, too, that on their return from Egypt, the Holy Family stopped by Mount Carmel and rested a while with these hermits. It was there on top of Mount Carmel that actually the first chapel ever dedicated to Our Lady was built. And that is how the oldest religious order of our church was founded. It started with the prophet Elias. Now, the Carmelites, as they call themselves now, they were forced to move out of Palestine, to move west into Europe, because the infidels, the Jews, were persecuting them. Soon, St. Simon Stock was made the vicar general. And during his time, there were many dissensions, many fights, and many persecutions, both from within and without the order, that were caused by the devil. And so it was during this time that he felt very sad. So he prayed for his order. And he said what is now known as the unfailing prayer to the Queen Beauty of Carmel. It goes, "Flower of Carmel," there are different versions. This one is a beautiful one. "O flower of Carmel, vine blossom laden, splendor of heaven, childbearing maiden, none equals thee. O mother benign, who no man didst know, on all Carmel's children thy favors bestow, star of the sea." No sooner did he say that prayer than he lifts up his eyes. And he sees Our Lady all surrounded by many angels in a brilliant light coming to him with the brown scapular. And she gives him this message. "Receive this habit of thy order. Whosoever dies clothed in this shall never suffer eternal fire." Now, what is the meaning of this? This promise. Let's make it clear. It does not mean that those who die in mortal sin will be saved. Rather, what it translates to mean is this: whosoever dies in this habit shall not die in mortal sin. St. Robert Bellarmine says that, and many other fathers of the church says that, anyone dying in Mary's family, the Carmelite order, will receive from her at the hour of death either the grace of final perseverance or that of final contrition, so that they will not die in mortal sin. The whole meaning of the scapular promise comes from the fact that the wearing of the scapular is what? It is a true devotion to Our Lady. And true devotion consists of three qualities. The first is homage. We give her homage when we are enrolled in the Carmelite, the third order of Carmelites, by the scapular. Confidence is the second. When we wear the scapular, we show our confidence in her promise. And the third is love of Our Lady. But there's another. We must persevere in this scapular devotion. Now, it is said that one day Our Lady, and this is very important, that one day Our Lady will save the whole world through her scapular and rosary. That time, I believe anyway, is now, when the Mass has been taken from so many. So many will be saved by the scapular and rosary. Now, what I've said today, it just touches the tip of the iceberg concerning the devotion to the scapular and the power which Our Lady has given to the Carmelite habit, promises of salvation, even promises which extend into purgatory. So I was thinking later of giving a short series of talks on the brown scapular. Perhaps you could listen to them later online, St. Gertrude's. But today I want to end with this beautiful anecdote. A quote: those who do appreciate the power of Mary in the scapular against Satan have often, through the mere devout kissing of the scapular, been able to cause the most violent temptations to just melt away. They know that due to their devout wearing of the scapular with its presence of Mary, Satan dare not come near them. And this story goes on. We even discover traces of fright in the words uttered by Pope Leo XI as the scapular was accidentally being removed from his shoulders at the papal investiture. His words: "Oh, leave me, Mary, lest Mary leave me." When you wear your scapular, Mary is always at your side. When you wear your scapular, it is a sign that you are thinking of her and she of you. You are with her all day. May she lead you to heaven. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.